Welcome back, everyone, to Octopulse, our Detroit News, Detroit Red Wings podcast, and Happy New Year. I'm Mark Faulkner, Detroit News Assistant Sports Editor, joined by Ted Kalfin, our Red Wings beat reporter. Coming up on the podcast, we'll hear from Cole Iserman, the number two ranked prospect for this year's draft. But first, Ted, we're 2 weeks into the new year. The Red Wings now at the midway point, halfway home. They're four games over 500, 20-16-5. They're first in goals in the Eastern Conference with 146. They're fifth in the Atlantic Division behind Boston, Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay. And they're 2 points out of the playoffs, tied with Pittsburgh and New Jersey in the wild card race. Overall, Coach Derek Lalonde said he's pleased with the first half of the season, a roller coaster ride, he calls it. What do you make of the first 41 games, Ted? And the question we ask all the time here on the podcast, will this finally be the year the Red Wings make the playoffs, first time in 8 years?
Well, Mark, it's interesting. I suppose they're about where we thought they might be at the beginning of the season. It's just been an interesting route that they've taken to get there. I agree with Newsy. I think it has been an up and down roller coaster type of first half. They've shown they can be a very competitive team. I mean, there's a lot of scoring depth on this team, Mark. They're kind of like we kind of suspected. I mean, they can get offense from a lot of different people, but boy, they do give up quite a few goals too. And the goaltending, obviously, for the most part, this first half has been unsettled. Okay, we've seen Alex Lyon take over the net here recently, and it's kind of stabilized it, but I'm still not sure everybody's convinced he might be the man for the rest of the season, but we'll see. But you know what? They are who they are, and I think a lot of us probably expected them to miss the playoffs by what, maybe 1 to 6 points or whatnot, being in it for a long time, and then finally missing it out at the end. And maybe that's the way it's going to happen. We'll see. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I kind of think that they're probably where they're supposed to be, or where we expected them to be at this point.
They certainly put together really strong games. These last two games at home, Ted, the Bruins game, as well as the Oilers last night, those were as well played, defensive minded, moving the puck. They were intense. John Morosi was there last night in the press box, and he goes, "This place is alive again." Those two games were two of the best games I've seen all year. The team was competing. There wasn't that sense Olimata talked to you about, really, sometimes we're easy to play against. And the other teams, there have been a lot of freebies, and that's really been frustrating for Derek Lalonde. And I'll pick a couple of games. Like the San Jose game here, the Sharks really didn't have to push that hard. They had only two hits from all their forwards all game. And then when they went into Dallas basically had like one hit from their forwards the entire game. So they're almost like gimme games, and
that's the points left on the table. Those points are going to hurt.
And they're a better team than that, as we saw last night. Now, granted, they had both centers out, both of the goaltenders out. There's all kinds of reasons. They were seven games over 500 before Patrick Kane came here. Part of that was because of the centers out and the goaltenders. But also, Kane does a lot of looping. He's one of the worst defensive players in the league. All of a sudden, you have four or five forwards who are under 6 feet tall. And all of a sudden, everyone's like deferring to him. So there's issues there as well. And now he's probably a bigger part of the team. And others are getting the ice time that they had when they were seven games over 500. So I'm like you. It may not work out, but those last two games, Ted, if the Wings play like that, sell out crowds, and they just might pull this off.
When you look over that wild card race, because let's face it, I think they're more in tune with the wild card race. They're not going to catch Florida, Boston, Toronto, likely. So I don't know, you can put all those teams under a blanket, and, well, I don't know. I mean, there's just not very many overpowering teams there, and they very well could come out of it. But then again, it's like somebody mentioned to me the other day, are they better than four or five of those teams? I don't know. That's difficult to say. I mean, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Tampa, who are we missing? Well, I think Washington's fading a little bit, but they're still a quality team for just to an extent. It's just difficult to think that the Wings are going to be better than three or four or five of those teams. That's just tough to say. The Islanders, I don't know. We'll wait and see, but it's going to be a difficult road to hoe for sure.
Now let's take a look at your midterm grades, Ted, beginning with the goalies and beginning with Alex Lyon, who stopped 44 shots last night against the Oilers in that 3-2 overtime loss. Here's what Lyon had to say about maintaining an even keel attitude through the ups and downs.
I don't get really too wrapped up in the, it's going to go fall the other way eventually. It's just the nature, like I say all the time, it's the nature of the goalie position. So you try to ride the highs as long as you can. And then when the lows happen, you just got to maintain that even keel. So that's my focus right now. And I'm just trying to help the team and provide whatever I can. And obviously a very dangerous team. So I felt pretty good today.
Ted, the goaltending in your story at DetroitNews.com about the highs and lows of the first half, you said Alex Lyon has been a revelation in pressing with his poise and competitiveness. You also said the position was an issue with Ville Husso and James Reimer. Unable to really solidify things, you gave Lyon an A-, Husso a C-plus, and Reimer a D-plus. Does that sound about right?
No, I do. I mean, it's Alex Lyon's been a surprise. I mean, and you figure that goaltending position is so unique and peculiar around the league. There, it seems like there's a couple guys every year that kind of come out of nowhere and thrive. And maybe Alex Lyon's one of those guys this year. He's been fabulous, I think, over these last few weeks. But, boy, do you really trust him over another 41 games? I don't know. He is who he is. He's been a career backup, a vagabond, kind of minor leaguer. But, you know, he's played really well lately. But, yeah, I think they really need Ville Husso to step up here when he does get healthy. And, I don't know, if nothing else, to form a solid 1-2 tandem with Lyon. Reimer, I mean, that's going to be interesting, Mark. Reimer sounds like he's going to get a start this weekend, either against Los Angeles or Toronto. Mm-hmm. I mean, either one of those teams are, you know, both of them are quality teams. He's going to have to step up and play well because they can't afford to give up too many points here in the next few weeks, you know, with the race being as tight as it is. And let's face it, they have a gauntlet coming up, a lot of difficult teams.
Time now for our interview segment on the podcast, and our special guest today is Cole Iserman. Joining us now is 17-year-old Cole Iserman from USA Hockey's U18 National Team Development Program, the number 2 ranked prospect for the 2024 NHL Draft, and one of 22 NTDP players who will play in Monday's All-American game here at USA Hockey Arena. Cole, welcome to the podcast, and for our Red Wing listeners, the name Iserman is a familiar name, but different spelling, of course. Your coach, Nick Four, told me yesterday, he's asked all the time if you're related to Steve Iserman. He says, he tells people simply, you spell your last name with an E, Steve Iserman with a Y. How do you answer that question, the Iserman question, Cole? And what was it like growing up in the Iserman hockey family just north of Boston with your twin brother and three other older hockey playing brothers?
Yeah, I definitely get that question a lot, if he's my dad or whatever, but I kind of just, you know, say no. And but I definitely, it's pretty cool to kind of have the same name as him. And I use his name in Xbox all the time. So that was pretty cool to kind of hear my name out. But yeah, growing up was awesome. I mean, I got a twin who I grew up playing with, and three older brothers who I really idolized, you know, growing up. They're pretty, they're a lot older than me in ways. And I kind of just saw them as older dads, and they kind of just, you know, kind of paved the way for me, and kind of showed me how to be a man and also a hockey player. So,
Cole, growing up in the Boston area and then playing 2 years at Shattuck St. Mary's, you were a teammate of Macklin Celebrini's. Those 2 years, you guys in Minnesota, he had 51 goals, then 50 goals. You had 97, then 56. That's 254 goals. Now you guys are ranked 1-2 in the NHL Central Scouting Rankings. He's at Boston University, where you're going next year. He already has 25 points in 15 games at BU, and he just led Canada in scoring at the World Juniors with 8 points in 5 games. So what's that friendship like, and why is he such a good player?
Yeah, I mean, he's my best friend. I talk to him every single day, and I'm always checking in on him, and he's always checking in on me, and it's kind of such a positive friendship where we're always just making sure each other's are doing good, and always kind of having each other's backs no matter what. But he's just, you know, all around great player. I mean, he loves the game, and he works so hard at it, and you can really tell on the ice.
Cole, the World Championships, in your hockey blog at NHL.com, you said you were disappointed you weren't invited to the U.S. tryout camp. Your coach, Nick Fore, said it was really hard on you. He said you found out before the announcement and had to internalize the disappointment. What's it been like? Because that U.S. team, Cole, it's stacked, 7 returning players, and that doesn't even include 3 players that I talked to right here along the bench at USA Hockey Arena last year, Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, and Gabe Perreault. Smith is winning 70% of his faceoffs, but those 3 aren't even among the top 10 scorers. Coach Fore said it's been good for you and James Haggins to face adversity the first time you guys haven't made a team. I know it sounds good in theory, but what's it been like day by day, Cole, and who have you leaned on to deal with the disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard at first, but I think you got to stay in the moment and you know that you're not going to be there, and kind of just got to stay you know, present with the NTDP and really, you know, worry about the guys around here in the rink and kind of worry about your next game. But definitely just kind of talking to my parents and honestly still being a fan of the tournament. Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, I'm still a fan of the U.S. and seeing what they're doing out there is unbelievable, and I hope they win gold soon. So.
Cole, how about chasing records here at USA Hockey? The all-time leading goal scorer is Cole Caulfield with 126 goals. Phil Kessel is next with 104, and you're at 98. You'll need about 30 goals in your final 30 games. You already have 29 goals in 26 games. Your coach, Nick Fore, said he talked to you at the end of last season and said, we don't chase records here. It's team first, and he won't necessarily put you on the ice with a 7-2 lead on the power play, but how do you balance those two things? He says you have plenty of talent. You're plus 28. You're leading the team. And he says you'll get your chances. Is the record important though?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool to kind of be in that question. And obviously, you know, I love scoring goals, and if I can get that, that's pretty cool for me. And I think that would show a lot, you know, me as a player and me as a, you know, this team, how good everyone is, and that'd be pretty cool. So,
Cole, when it comes to goal scoring, you've talked about working on keeping your head up and working on shooting without looking. Coach Fore and I talked about that yesterday. He said he's doing work right now on the subject with soccer players, knowing where the ball is without looking down. And how hard is learning that skill? Because he said some hockey players won't even look at the goalie. They know where the puck is, where they're shooting. And just the other night, Patrick Kane, his first goal in Detroit, he came down his wrong wing. He was looking up and he beat the Ottawa goalie, Jonas Korpisalo. So are you getting better at that? And how difficult is that skill?
Yeah, it's definitely really hard. I mean, the game's so fast and the puck's moving at a tremendous speed all the time. And to be able to control the puck and have your head up and start skating and see where the goalie is, it's pretty hard. But I think, you know, repetition and just kind of practicing all the time is really important, and definitely a skill that everyone works on every day.
Coach Fore also said, Cole, you're the best goal scorer he's ever coached, that he's never seen anyone score so many goals where the goalie actually gets a piece of the shot. Your shot has been compared to Alex Ovechkin. In fact, you tied Ovechkin's record with 12 goals in 7 games at the World U17 World Challenge, Hockey Challenge. He uses terms like compact release, a heavy shot, that it's quick enough to beat the goalies before they're ready. What do you make of that comparison? And maybe you can tell us about the hard work you put in about the shot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, your name with Ovi is pretty funny to hear and pretty cool, but it's definitely something that I really, you know, take pride in. I'm doing it every single day, whether it's after practice or before school or whatever. I'm shooting pucks no matter what, and it's something that I also love to watch. You know, obviously, you know, I'm just pulling up Ovi clips or whatever, seeing what he's doing, you know, seeing what stick he uses, stuff like that kind of helps a lot. And it's just, you know, it's having fun with it at the end of the day and just loving to score and loving to shoot.
And how about the one-timer? What's that about? He's a right-handed shot, setting up in this circle. You're over there. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's scored however many goals he has from that spot, and it's pretty unreal how he's still scoring from there. No, everyone knows he's coming. And, you know, for me, you know, being a lefty, I just try to kind of do the same thing, but on my side, so.
And finally, Cole, the All-American game, nearly 200 scouts and GMs and front office folks from nearly all the teams will be here along with the Hockey Network. You're on the blue team with your reunited line mates, Camille Benarek and Max Plante. There's going to be a lot of attention on you and Macklin Celebrini before the NHL draft in Vegas in June, but what do you have left to prove, and how are you preparing for these final months of your junior career?
Yeah, I think just, you know, showing that I can play a 200-foot game and, you know, still using my body and still kind of impacting more than just scoring. And I think I'm still trying to do that, bring that into my game. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, winning hockey games. And I think that'll be huge to show everyone.
Cole, thanks again for your time today talking to us about your Yzerman family, your time here with the NTDD program, and also preparing for that game on Monday. All the best in the All-American game and moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks again to Cole Yzerman. Now let's take a look at the defenseman, beginning with Ben Sherratt, who you said, Ted, was the unsung hero in the first half. You said he supplies the wings with that old-school hockey mentality with his grit, leadership, and physicality. You gave him a B. The best grade, of course, went to Moritz Seider, a B+. The others got B minuses, Jake Wallman, Olli Maatta, and Shane Gostisbehere. The two other defensemen got Cs, Justin Hall and Jeff Petrie. What, Ted, stands out to you about that group?
I mean, it's been exactly, I would think, for the most part, kind of what I expected. A lot of depth. There's flaws there, but I think it's an NHL proven defense. I think Mata's been an underrated pleasant surprise. Obviously, Sherratt's been much better than he was last year. Jeff Petrie probably done as well as could have been expected. I think Seider had one brief little hiccup there for a couple weeks. Maybe not, especially defensively, maybe not what we kind of expect. But, on the whole, he's the number one defenseman every team would crave to have. Mm-hmm. Wallman's been up and down a little bit, but I think, 9 goals, I mean, that's a nice production, obviously. You do wonder about Gostisbehere. What do you do with him at the trade deadline, Mark? I mean, he'd be a valuable commodity out there. I think you get a decent draft pick in return. You could probably plug Edvinson, I would think, into that role if need be. I mean, that'll be an interesting situation come trade deadline if they're right at the bubble or maybe a few points behind. It'll be interesting to see, but no, I think it's a good group on the whole. I mean, just as pretty much everybody expected. I mean, not star-laden, but there's a lot of depth there.
And finally, the forwards, beginning with Alex DeBrincat, who you said was the MVP of the first half. You said Wings fans can be excited about the future now that he's reunited with Patrick Kane, a two-time 40-goal scorer, 17 goals already. You gave him an A along with two other A's for Kane and Dylan Larkin. The B-pluses went to JT Compher, Robbie Fabry, and Daniel Sprong. The Bs were Christian Fischer, Michael Rasmussen, and Lucas Raymond. B-minus, Joe Valeno. The Cs, Andrew Kopp, David Perron. The Ds, Klim Kossin. You also gave Coach Derek Lalonde and his assistant coaches a B, and Steve Yzerman a B+. So, Ted, what do you make of this older, more experienced group of forwards that Yzerman has put together?
Mark, what have you thought about Patrick Kane the last little while? It seems that he was a house of fire at the start, and he was, that's another revelation. He was outstanding. I do think the last several games, maybe a little more quiet. What have you thought?
Well, his ice time has come down because everyone else is healthier, and I think that's a better role for Patrick Kane. Power play, when you're behind. Again, he's as a coach just talked to me as well, somebody who knows the Red Wings staff pretty well. He said, this is a player, Kane. Again, he was ranked over 550th, 5-on-5, as far as defensive ability. And I know he's the highest scoring all-time forward in U.S. history. And he's a pleasure to watch. And a lot of players are watching him like, doing all this looping and things. But ultimately, he's not the first on the puck. He turns it over a couple times, and he's not the last man back. In fact, Ted, wasn't that interesting the other day when Derek Lalonde said that all of a sudden DeBrincat and Kane are coming back? Like, that was huge. Right, that's a problem because DeBrincat knows how to play defense. He's a professional high-scoring winger. When you come back further in your own zone, everything works going the other way. You're making plays. You're in proper position. And Kane knows how to play defense. He's a Hall of Famer. And it was probably worth the gamble. But he took ice time away from a team that was 7 games over .500.
They were playing really well. They were playing 100%.
And so maybe, you know what? Maybe I didn't look at his ice time the last two games, but you and I were at the Bruins game, mm-hmm. and the Oilers last night. He didn't play perhaps as much. And in fact,
quiet. He was just some kind of quiet. You didn't notice him as much as you did the first couple weeks. Or
quietly efficient. Weeks. Because look, a lot of players in the, in that dressing room know that Kane could be gone in a little bit. They could trade him at the deadline. Like
you do wonder. Always, you do.
Well, there's a rumor out there the Winnipeg Jets, a second rounder and a player, and like so, like of course he'd be great on a team that is stacked. That could use, you know, Kyle Connor's hurt. You could use a Kane for a team that's ready to win. This Red Wings team is not ready to win. So he's a luxury that you can't afford. I'd rather see Robbie Fabry, who plays hard all the time. I'd rather see him get more ice time than Kane's. But you know what, Ted? This is a team that's like fourth in scoring. And who would have thought that when we started this season?
Oh, that's even loftier than I thought that it was going to be.
No unbelievable. Question. Just unbelievable. So anyway, just wrapping up, we talked about the forwards. Kane is, I think that's a flashpoint. How much do you play him? Like, for example, I would rather play Christian Fisher on a third line. You saw how well he played last night.
He's been a nice addition, no question.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's about team. It's about, you know, you have all these professional players who know how to play the game, who have won cups. And you win with those type of shifts. You don't win with the flash and dash and all the pretty passes and things. It's nice to have that. But Larkin can do that. You have all kinds of players who have that ability on the team.
It'll be really interesting come trade deadline. You got Kane, obviously. You got David Perron, who he'd be more valuable to a truly contending team. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be extended. I mean, I doubt he'll be back next season. So I don't know. Do you get something for David Perron at the deadline?
Well, you mentioned Goss Despair earlier. Just a quick final thing here. Yeah. Ted, would you have gone after Cutter Gauthier, a Tom Wilson player who could rattle the boards for 10, 15 years at Little Caesars, a power forward, an unbelievable talent? Now, Jamie Drysdale was the player who came over. They've both been guests on our podcast. But if you were Steve Yzerman, would you have given up a second rounder and Axel Sandin Pellikka to get Cutter Gauthier? Because it's my belief that there are other defensemen that are smaller, like Goss Despair, like Axel Sandin Pellikka, who could be Zubov in the future. So he's a fantastic talent. I would perhaps trade a Goss Despair, like you said, maybe give Edvinson that time. And you know you've got Sandin Pellikka in the future. But anyway, that was a trade that I would have.
Interesting trade. I mean, obviously, that reverberated throughout the league. I still think Philadelphia did pretty well getting Jamie Drysdale, and
absolutely.
I've always liked him. And then he had a second round draft pick. I think they did fairly well. I mean, we'll see. That was a very intriguing trade. And yeah, you're right. I mean, if I'm Steve Yzerman, obviously I'd look into it and consider something. But yeah, I don't know. That will be interesting at the deadline. I've liked Ghost. I mean, he's Gustav Mahar has been exactly probably what we all expected. He's dynamic offensively. I mean, we're
worst
seeing
plus
some
minus
of the defense,
too.
Though.
Worst plus minus by far.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, that's kind of, it's exactly probably what people felt it was going to be. So I don't know. Is he a piece for the future? I doubt it. Yeah. It's going to be interesting come trade. Well, obviously, it all depends where they stand. And like we mentioned, Mark, they have a gauntlet coming up. It's going to be difficult. So I was talking about it with somebody last night. They had the same scenario 2 or 3 years ago. They were right on the cusp of playoff contention. And then they had a string right about now where they had 9 games against very difficult playoff caliber teams. And I believe they went 2-7.
Okay.
And that pretty much caved their season. Well, we'll see what happens these next couple weeks.
And that'll do it for episode 97 of our Detroit News, Detroit Red Wings podcast. As always, thanks again for your time today, Ted. You can find all of Ted's stories online at DetroitNews.com. as well as on our Octopulse Facebook page. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, rating, and reviewing these podcasts.